Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 569. I'm Amy Matheny. What a tease. We had some really warm weather, and now it's cold and gray. But hey, but a good weekend. Most of you are probably at work now and, you know, don't want it to be gorgeous and sunny outside while you're in an inside 9-to-5. But it was a nice little tease, wasn't it? That's kind of what April does. It just kind of teases us the whole month, April and May. But I had a friend in town, my friend Cecilia, who's doing the show with me. And we were driving around and she said, she's Southern girl. And she said, Lord, girl, look at everybody, how excited everybody is about this weather. She goes, it's just crazy to see everybody out and just in shorts. And she thought it was wild just to see the enthusiasm that this city has once it just kind of clears a little bit to feeling like summer and springtime. One of the great things about springtime is that it becomes a really wonderful time to get out and eat al fresco, if you like. And it's also the time of year here around Passover, Easter, all of this wonderful season where we all get to come together to raise money for proceeds to benefit HIV and AIDS services in town with Dining Out for Life. It is happening on April 24th, and our correspondent, Jerry Nunn, who gives us some of our celebrity interviews from time to time, sat down with Ted Allen. You know Ted Allen from Queer Eye, in Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And he used to live in Chicago. He was a Chicagoan when he hit fame with that show and continues to come back and support the GLBT community here in Chicago and the food community here in Chicago. Both are vibrant. And so Jerry Nunn is sitting down with Ted Allen to talk about Dining Out for Life. Also, there's lots going on in the GLBT news. And theater is kicking up. Very happy for the support from many listeners who came to see Cicada during our previews. And we opened this past weekend, and I hope many of you will come and see it as well. We had a fantastic opening. So, but there's so many great shows in Chicago. It's really a great time to catch a ticket for a show April and May here in our fair city. And then Jerry Nunn back with Ted Allen on today's Queercast.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Mozilla co-founder / CEO Brendan Eich has resigned after he came under fire for donating to a campaign to ban gay marriage in California. In a statement on the Mozilla website, Executive Chairwoman Mitchell Baker said, Mozilla prides itself on being held to a different standard and, this past week, we didn't live up to it. We know why people are hurt and angry, and they are right. It's because we haven't stayed true to ourselves. Baker added that the future leadership of the company is being discussed.
Republican Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant has signed into law a religious liberty bill that could be used to justify various forms of discrimination, including anti-LGBT discrimination. The measure differs from other states' religious freedom restoration acts because Mississippi law defines the word person to include businesses. Thus, it applies to corporations instead of just private citizens exercising their religious beliefs. The Family Research Council, an anti-LGBT group, took credit for its passage.
U.S. District Judge Timothy Black gave notice April 4th that he will require Ohio officials to recognize same-sex marriages performed in other states. Black will issue the ruling April 14th, prohibiting Ohio officials from enforcing the ban, but it will not mean Ohio must allow same-sex couples to marry in the state. By announcing his intention ahead of his ruling, Black gives time for the state to prepare an appeal that can be filed as soon as he rules.
In Wisconsin, transgender man Gypsy Vered Meltzer was elected to the Appleton City Council, marking a historic first. Meltzer is the first openly transgender individual to hold elected office in the state after he defeated Barney Lemansky from 295 votes to 199.
In Texas, after the Southern Methodist University Student Senate voted to approve an LGBT student Senate seat, the student body voted the proposal down. Adding a Senate seat required approval by two-thirds of the voters, and only 53% of those voting were in favor of adding the seat. Of SMU's 11,000 students, only about 2,000 voted.
A Texas couple claims their son was turned away from a local Montessori school because they are lesbians. Tracy Keller and her wife, Dawn, told local TV affiliate WFAA they had hoped to enroll their three-year-old son, Landry, at the New Beginnings Montessori School in Bedford, Texas. After they toured the school, however, the two moms said they were told by the director of the school that it wasn't an option because they were lesbians.
The Social Security Administration, or SSA, updated its policies and procedures regarding the ability of transgender individuals to receive benefits through their spouses. This announcement comes after months of advocacy by Lambda Legal on behalf of Robina Osti, a 92-year-old transgender woman who was denied survivor benefits by the SSA after her husband's death. She finally received her benefits on Valentine's Day after Lambda Legal filed an appeal on her behalf.
Civil rights hero Harvey Milk, who in 1977 became the first openly gay person elected to public office in California, will be featured on a U.S. postage stamp. The design includes a black and white photograph of Milk, along with the Pride rainbow flag colors stacked squarely in the upper left corner. Both D.C. and San Francisco are potential first day cities.
University of Houston downtown senior Christopher Sharp's story about a flyer that targeted his sexual orientation and HIV status has inspired the revival of an anti-bullying bill. The tale of Sharp, also an intern in the Washington, D.C. office of Senator Patty Murray, the Democrat from Washington, as part of the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund's congressional internship program, inspired Murray and out-Senator Tammy Baldwin, the Democrat from Wisconsin, to introduce the Tyler Clemente Higher Education Anti-Harassment Act of 2014. The bill is named for the Rutgers University student who committed suicide in 2010 after his roommate streamed a video of Clemente and another man having sex.
The Alabama House of Representatives approved a resolution urging an amendment to the U.S. Constitution to ban gay marriage. Representative Patricia Todd, Alabama's first openly gay legislator, accused lawmakers of approving the resolution secretly and without open debate. The resolution calls for a national constitutional convention to approve the gay marriage ban.
A Florida man faces 10 counts of attempted second-degree murder and one count of arson for allegedly attempting to burn and kill a lesbian couple and their eight children. Police said Braulio Valenzuela, 73, intended to burn down the home that belongs to the two women who lived next door because they are lesbians. The flames were extinguished before they could burn down the couple's home. Valenzuela was being held on a $230,000 bond.
In Nebraska, Legislative Bill 485, a measure that would ban job discrimination against LGBT Nebraskans, failed in the face of a filibuster. Lawmakers voted 26-22 on a motion to cut off the filibuster on LB 485. The vote fell short of the 33 needed to end a filibuster, but was one more than would have been needed to advance the bill in the 49-member legislature. At least one supporter, State Senator Amanda McGill, predicted Nebraska will pass such legislation in coming years.
In world news, Argentina President Cristina Kirchner has agreed to be godmother to the baby daughter of a lesbian couple. The couple said they asked the president, the mother to herself, over Facebook. The center-leftist president pushed for same-sex marriage legislation that was approved in 2010.
In Australia, all four football codes, as well as Cricket Australia, presented a unified front in Sydney, emphasizing the need to end anti-LGBT discrimination in sport. The agreement came ahead of the Bingham Cup, the World Cup of Gay Rugby, with all codes agreeing to introduce policies in line with the new anti-homophobia and inclusion framework by the end of August. It marks the first time in all major professional sports in a country that have collectively committed to tackling discrimination based on sexual orientation with inclusion policies.
A Chilean man who had been in a coma for nearly 6 months after a group of men allegedly attacked him because he was gay died April 6th. Vladimir Sepulveda passed away at a hospital in Rancagua, a city that is roughly 55 miles south of Santiago, the Chilean capital. The 21-year-old had been in a vegetative state after a group of six men attacked him last October in the nearby town of San Francisco de Mosastal. The Movement for Homosexual Integration and Liberation, a Chilean LGBT advocacy group, said Sepulveda's assailants shouted anti-gay slurs at him as they kicked him and punched him in the head.
Estonians may be able to enter into civil partnerships as early as July if a coalition of Estonian lawmakers gets its way. A working group, including MPs from all four parties in the Estonia parliament, is working on a bill to allow both gay and straight couples to enter into civil partnerships.
In entertainment news, long-running daytime soap opera Days of Our Lives made history the week of March 31st by airing the first wedding between two males, with the marriage of Will Horton, played by Guy Wilson, and Sonny Kyriakis, played by Freddie Smith. The storyline began in 2011. However, this isn't the first same-sex wedding to air on a soap. ABC's All My Children was the first to air one back in 2009, with the nuptials of Bianca and Reese.
Transgender star, actress, producer, and writer Laverne Cox will be honored at the 25th Annual GLAAD Media Awards in L.A. on April 12th with the Stephen F. Kolzak Award. Jennifer Lopez will receive the Vanguard Award at the same event.
TriStar Productions will produce Ricky and the Flash, featuring Oscar winners Meryl Streep, Jonathan Demme, and Diablo Cody. Ricky and the Flash is about a rock and roll loving woman who chased her dream at the price of her family, but gets a last chance to, perhaps, make things right. Filming will start in the fall, giving Streep plenty of time over the summer to hone her guitar playing skills. Demme, of the Silence of the Lambs fame, will direct.
Who's the Boss star Danny Pintaro, 38, and his longtime boyfriend Will Tabares have tied the knot on the beach in Dana Point, California. Pintaro and Tabares both reside in Las Vegas, and Pintaro came out of the closet in 1997.
Anderson Cooper has revealed that he will not be inheriting any money from his mother Gloria Vanderbilt's $200 million fortune. The CNN host said his 90-year-old mother, the great-great-great-granddaughter of the railroad tycoon Cornelius Vanderbilt, has told him he won't get any of her wealth when she dies, and he says he doesn't need the money. Cooper, 47, makes around $11 million a year at CNN.
And during a recent double episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, Roger, the wisecracking alien from American Dad, was crowned the winner of the gayest cartoon character of all time. Among the other 32 characters people could vote on were Peppermint Patty, Snagglepuss, He-Man, Vanity Smurf, Family Guy's Stewie, South Park's Big Gay Al, and Saturday Night Live's Ambiguously Gay Duo.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Carson Kressley, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
For the week of April 14th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Profiles Theater has extended their smash hit production of Cock by Mike Bartlett through May 25th. Critics across Chicago have highly recommended this explosive comedy, including rave reviews from the Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, and Windy City Times. For tickets or further information, visit the website at profilestheater.org.
The Chicago premiere of Songs from an Unmade Bed is playing now at the Apollo Theater Studio. A fun, sexy musical about two gay men living in the city is brought to you by Pride Films and Plays. For tickets to Songs from an Unmade Bed, visit Ticketmaster.com. Have a nightcap with the boys at Songs from an Unmade Bed.
Chicago Shakespeare Theater continues its exploration of the Sondheim canon with director Gary Griffin's Roadshow, featuring an ensemble of Chicago's favorite actor-musicians. Based on the lives of the boldly enterprising Meisner brothers, get-rich-quick schemes fuel this musical adventure, inspired by their ambitious pursuit of the American dream. Now playing through May 4th. For tickets, visit chicagoshakes.com.
The Dance of Death tells the deliciously venomous story of a crumbling marriage, laced with black comedy and biting humor. Amplified by the voice of celebrated Irish playwright Connor McPherson and featuring an all-star cast of Shannon Cochran, Philip Earl Johnson, and Larry Yando, The Dance of Death will leave you gasping. At the Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or Metra. To get tickets to Dance of Death, visit writerstheater.org.
Route 66 Theater Company transports you to rural Mississippi in the world premiere Cicada by openly gay playwright Jerry Dye. Dramatist Beth Henley says playwright Jerry Dye is a vibrant force in American theater with an undeniable Southern sensibility. Don't miss Cicada, a beautiful, dynamic new play. For tickets, visit cicadatheplay.com. Cicada is playing now through May 25th. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
People's eyes, Ted Allen will always be the foodie from Bravo's first big hit, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Although he's gone on to do so much more, he's written two cookbooks, he's a regular on many cooking shows, and he's the host of the Food Network's Chopped. He has spent a lot of time in Chicago. He was a reporter, he wrote for the Chicago Magazine, as well as many other publications as a freelancer, and he's since moved to New York with his husband, Barry Rice. Now, after Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, he became a massive hit when he went on to judge shows such as Iron Chef America and Top Chef. Allen received a James Beard Award for Chopped and an Emmy Award for Queer Eye with the other cast members for Outstanding Reality Program. And on April 24th, next week, he, along with other celebrities and supporters, will eat out for a good cause. I know I will, for Dining Out for Life. More than 3,000 restaurants raise money to benefit essential HIV/AIDS services with this event, and it's estimated that $4 million will be raised on this one night of dining. Ted Allen called Windy City Crickcast and talked with Jerry Nunn about his career and how important this night is to him.
Tell me about getting involved with Dining Out for Life, and you've been doing it for 6 years now, I heard?
I think that's about right, yeah. Well, it's a great group, you know, it's just, and the first time I was involved with it actually was many years ago when I did live in Chicago, at a restaurant long gone that was at the corner of Belmont and Sheffield. It's just a, it's it's just a perfect fit for me. I mean, it's an opportunity for people to encourage people to go to restaurants and get out and taste new things and, you know, help support this industry that I love so much while making a meaningful contribution in the fight against HIV and AIDS in your own community without having to do anything particularly difficult. It doesn't cost extra. It's, you know, it's just a reflection of how much chefs and restaurateurs do for communities. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've actually worked in a restaurant that was part of the program, so it's really rewarding to see people come in for it, you know, when you're working there.
So, oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. That's really cool. Where were you, what restaurant were you at?
At Andy's Restaurant, Mediterranean Restaurant up in Andersonville.
Oh, sure. I used to order from them all the time.
Really? Okay, cool. Great. Yeah, I worked there for 5 years.
Oh, wow. It's good food. I used to live on the 6300 block of Magnolia.
So what do they? What is Dining Out for Life require from you? Do they? Are you just their spokesman, or what? What do you have to do for them?
Well, they use me and Pam Greer and Daisy Martinez and Mondo Guerra to access media.
Okay.
And so what we're, you know, the event happens on April 24th in most cities. We're able to get interviews and get the press excited. And, you know, it's not a new event. We need to do something to remind people that it's around and also to remind people that it's still needed. And as the face of AIDS changes over the years, you know, when I first started doing this, my spiel sort of went something along the lines of, you know, the face of AIDS has changed from the gay, white, male disease that it started out as to one affecting more women of color. But actually, the pendulum has shifted in a certain sense because there's a whole generation of young gay men that didn't see the first plague, and who watching all sorts of video with unsafe sex in it and thinking that this problem has been solved. And it's not the death sentence that it used to be, but if you know anybody that does have HIV and does have to take all these medicines, you know that it's not without awful side effects and huge expenses, and it's still a serious thing.
Right. Yeah. And Mondo himself is fairly young, new generation, and, you know, is positive. So, yeah. So he lives in Chicago, I believe, now. I keep running into him, too, all the time. So I think he's going to be here, you know, in town for when the event hits. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, I wonder where he'll be eating. Do you pick a favorite restaurant that you go to?
Well, it all depends on what on where I am. I mean, I have celebrated the event in Philadelphia in the past, which is the home city where it was founded. My problem is that we always seem to be going back into another run of Chopped, and we'll be shooting Chopped in April. So actually, I should look. I don't even know. I might be in the studio on April 24th.
Okay.
Hang on a second. I'm shooting Chopped that day.
Oh wow.
I don't know that they want, you know, they don't let me get out much.
Yeah. Tell me about Chopped. Let's talk about that. How's that going, and what's been new for you with the show?
Chopped is going great. We're the network is really behind us. We're doing really well. For the month of February, we'll be airing new episodes on the regular night, Tuesday nights at 10, but also on Sunday nights at 9. So 8 new episodes in the month of February. Probably the network's attempt to defend itself against the Olympics, I would imagine. I don't think that's an official position that they've announced, but it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm personally, I'm very, as any of us in the gay community are, personally, I'm really, really not, really, I don't know if conflicted is the right idea, is the right word. I'm not super impressed with the Russian, with Sochi so far.
Yeah, of course, right, yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah.
And not even, not just because of the anti-gay legislation in Russia, but there are all sorts of reasons that the Olympics is like a mess. But no, we're, you know, this is, we are coming back with, we're going back in to shoot 39 more episodes, and the goal is just, is to continue to kind of refresh the show a little bit without messing it up. And one of the ways we're going to do that is, in the past we've done tournaments like Chopped Champions and celebrity tournaments, and we brought back past winners, we brought back people who almost won but not quite. This time we're doing a tournament, a five-part tournament with all teams.
Oh.
Which I think is really going to be fun. So that'll be four episodes of like semifinals where we, you know, whoever wins each of those episodes gets to compete in the finale, and in the finale episode, the winner will walk away with $50,000. Because they're teenagers, maybe they're going to translate that into a scholarship or something. I'm not sure exactly.
Oh, that's a good idea. Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Queer Eye reunion. How was that? It seemed like it happened really fast, and it was just over really fast.
I'm sorry. Well, I didn't hear the last part of your
question. Oh, just the Queer Eye reunion. It seemed like it went really fast. It just how was it for you? How was the reunion for you and running around for that time?
It was great. It was a lot of fun to see everybody, and I think my favorite thing about it was that. Well, first of all, I thought all the boys looked great.
Mm-hmm.
The camaraderie and the sense of raunchy humor is intact.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing about the whole experience was that Andy and his staff did such a great job of pulling old clips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a while, and they really worked hard finding good stuff. And I mean, you know, I kind of wished it was 2 hours long.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, some of that, the footage was just, it still holds up. It's so funny. I mean, oh my gosh, what you guys did was, you know, historical, but also just so entertaining, even today. I could have, yeah, easily watched it longer. And like a scrapbook for you guys, must have been.
Totally, like a video scrapbook. I mean, it's funny now to look back on it because Bravo has become such a huge player in the culture, and yet they still sort of lean on the same categories that they originally assigned to the five of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's still largely about food, fashion, culture, with a little touch of extra sort of bitchiness that we didn't quite have with all these housewives.
Right. Yeah. True. Is it hard to not interrupt each other whenever you're talking, or is there one person that interrupts more than the others, or how does that work? Five of you.
Oh, you picked up on that. You picked
tough.
Up on that, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty tough.
It is. It's a specific skill, being able to jump in and get a word in edgewise in a group of very talkative people.
Uh-huh.
And you can and you don't really, and nobody wants everyone talking at once because then nobody gets heard. But at the same time, everyone has something they want to say.
Uh-huh.
It's I guess that's part of what good casting is, like finding a group of people that somehow has enough respect for one another that they'll let each other make their points, but has enough strength and ego that they can talk really fast and can formulate a thought fast. It's you know, it was just like old times. I mean, those queens getting the word in edgewise with them is not easy.
Yeah,
and a lot of people can't do it. I mean, they just can't.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
It's a credit to Andy that he was able to. I was wondering if he was going to be able to withstand that.
Well, he's just housewives.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Andy was one of the producers, at least for part of the run of Queer Eye. He wasn't one of the originals, but he was a producer on the show. At the time, he was not on camera himself at all. He had been in the past. He was on CNN, and he's got a lot of camera experience. But at the time, he wasn't. So that reunion was really the first time that we've ever been on the five of us. First of all, the first time all five of us have been together in, you know, like 7 years. But it's also the first time that Andy has ever been on camera with us. So that was an interesting challenge for him, I'm sure.
I have been interviewing, you know, you guys, and then continuing on with the Bravo channel for so long, and then for him to thank me for doing it, you know, that was really great for me. That was a cool moment for me, because I've been interviewing all those people, and you guys started it, you know, so.
Thanks.
Yeah, so are you doing more writing? You're still doing Esquire magazine, right?
I have a little Esquire project that we're kicking around that would be kind of an ongoing thing, but I can't really talk about it yet because it's not official.
Okay.
But I was just at the magazine yesterday, and it was great to see my editors there, and it's been the same team for 17 years, which is a really long time at a national magazine, especially when the economy's rough in that business, as I'm sure you know very well.
Yep. What's future projects for you right now? I mean, besides Chopped.
I have just shot another show for Food Network that will be announced shortly, but I also can't talk too much about that because it hasn't been. But I'm excited about that. And I have a couple. Right now I'm trying to just enjoy being off work, but it's starting up again really soon. Like, as I mentioned, we go back in the studio April 1st.
Okay. Marriage plans? You're engaged, right? Congrats on that.
We actually got married.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, even more big congratulations. Okay.
We got married last July. I made a public spectacle about it when we got engaged the day that DOMA was overturned. But I decided to not make such a show of it when we actually got married, just because people I don't want to say it bothered me so much, but they kind of did. One thing I learned about marriage is that when we actually finally did it, is that it's something that a lot of people kind of claim ownership of.
Okay.
When I've always sort of thought of it, thought about it as, you know, primarily our business. So after that experience, I thought, you know, let's just do it. We just decided to do it really quietly and really low key with a couple of very close friends. Went and had a bottle of champagne and lunch at Baltazar, and it was great.
Oh, well, that's great. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
Did your family always cook?
Oh yeah, definitely. My mom's a great cook,
okay.
And it was always, you know, good, solid, healthy, lots of vegetables, and plenty of meat. But
Okay, that goes right into the last question. Okay. I just want to ask, healthy eating habits for 2014. What do you have? Do you have any new tips?
Well, I don't know that I have. Any special wisdom about healthy eating, other than I always try to. I'm not into fads. I'm not into low-fat ingredients. I'm into real food. I use butter. I don't use much cream. But I have a real weakness for cheese, and I'm not going to eat fake cheese. For me, it's all about portion control. And moderation, and you know, I don't eat Polish sausage, you know, every day. In fact, I should really choose a different example than that, shouldn't I? I don't have gigantic pieces of cake and huge bowls of ice cream every day. I'll have them once in a while, but for me, that's really, most people who seem to have a problem with eating, it's usually about the volume more than anything else.
Okay. Well, great.
That's all I have. how I deal with it. And a little exercise doesn't hurt, although I tell you, when it's 45 below zero, it's really hard to get any, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to try to go over my lunch break. I just want to say thanks so much for the interview, Ted. It's great talking to you. I interviewed you at the very beginning of my doing interviews, and now I've done, I don't know how many I've done, over 500 or something. So I just want to say, you know, great talking to you again, and it's always a pleasure, and come back and visit us in Chicago.
Thanks, Jerry. Say hello to my beloved Chicago, and I hope to see you guys soon, but I'm going to let you warm up first.
Sounds good.
I hope you will be a part of Dining Out for Life here in Chicago or in whatever city you live on April 24th. That's Thursday, April 24th. Know that a portion of your proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS services with this event. It's now in its seventh year, and you can look for participating restaurants at diningoutforlife.com. We'll have that in our show notes, diningoutforlife.com. And you can keep up with Ted and all of his cooking shenanigans at tedallen.net. Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope you have a great week. Spring is turning. The bunnies are out. The buds are trying to bloom. So cold weather, go away. We want you no more. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.